Turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to speak to you today on a subject I haven't preached on in many years, and that is the subject of worship. Most churches call the 11 o'clock hour the worship service. It is usually singing and preaching. Call on somebody to pray, maybe. But is that worship? Do we worship the Lord? In Philippians 2 and verse number 5, it helps us to know who the Lord is to be able to worship. Philippians 2 verse 5 said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." The book of Hebrews is written to the Hebrew people who were converted. They became Christians, but they were holding on to all their teachings of the law, and the book of Hebrews exalts the person of Christ, and I believe the greatest book of the New Testament in exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us in chapter 1 that he was worshiped by angels. He came into this world. God spoke in the Old Testament through the prophets, but now speaks through his Son, the Lord Jesus. And he determined that angels worship him. In chapter 3, compares him with Moses. Moses was a faithful servant of God, but Jesus is the faithful Son of God. He's superior to Joshua, who led Israel into rest in Canaan land. But Christ gives a permanent, eternal rest to those who believe in him through salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is superior to Aaron, who was the first high priest. Christ was a high priest eternally after a different order of priesthood, the order of Melchizedek. That order was not dependent on who your parents were, what tribe they were from. Jesus was born into the tribe of Judah, the tribe of kings, as a descendant of David. But he was a high priest eternally. But he didn't serve in the high priest function while on earth. He serves in heaven today as the great high priest who intercedes for you and for me. His sacrifice was his own body. And he offered his own blood to the Father in heaven for you and for me to pay for our sins. And now he ever liveth to make intercession for us. No matter how good high priest Aaron was, the time came he died. His eldest son would become the high priest. And then his eldest son. And then his eldest son. And that's how the priesthood worked. But Jesus is a high priest eternally in heaven for us, where he intercedes. Therefore, he's able to save to the uttermost those who believe in him. In Matthew chapter 2, I'd like to look there if you would with me. Matthew chapter 2. We see the first time that Jesus was worshipped by man as a babe in the manger. Not in the manger, but in the house where he had been taken by his family. In Matthew 2 and verse 1 and 2. "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. They said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, For thus it is written by the prophet, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently at what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. The wise men came to worship him. Jesus was born as a babe in a manger, and the angels revealed to the shepherds where he would be, and they went into Jerusalem and saw the babe in the manger. Now they've gone to a house, and here the wise men come, and they worship him. Theologians estimate it could have been a year or longer before the wise men got to where Jesus was. They believe that it was at the time of his birth that they saw a sign called a star in heaven. Star in the Bible could be asteroid or any kind of heavenly light. It could be a star as we know a star, but stars are gigantic. And this led them, the movement of it led them to Jerusalem. They bowed down and worshiped. What does it mean to worship? Worship means to ascribe worth. They bowed in humble adoration and they ascribed worthiness unto the Lord. They opened their treasures and they gave him gifts. When you see the Lord worthy of your worship, you enjoy giving unto him. You enjoy praise to the Lord. You enjoy ascribing him worth, what he has done for you and for me. In Matthew 4, in verse 10 through 11, Jesus was tested by Satan after he became an adult. He fasted 40 days and nights, and Satan came to him and tempted him, wanting him to turn the stones into bread because he was hungry. He went through three great tests with Satan. And in chapter 4, verse 10 and 11, Jesus spoke to him. He told Jesus to fall down and worship him, and he would give him all the kingdoms of the earth. Satan knew that Jesus will be presented with all the kingdoms of the earth when he returns to the earth in Revelation 19 as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will be Lord and King over all this earth in that day. But Satan said, "I'll give you a shortcut. I'll give them to you now." And he said, "They are mine to give." In verse 10, then said Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil leaveth him. And behold, angels came and ministered unto him. We are to worship the Lord and him alone. He is the only one worthy of our worship and our adoration. Only God deserves worship. In John chapter 4, we find Jesus speaking with the woman at the well. And he said in chapter 4 and verse 24, "God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." And back in verse 21, Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither worship in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem. Worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him." Are we worshiping the Lord in spirit and truth? We see only God deserves worship. We're taught that the place of worship is not the imperative. We build churches, church buildings in our nation today. Church houses, places of worship. But this building is not what we worship. The Lord is who we worship. And we must always keep that important in our lives. There are some great denominations with lots of money that build all kinds of ornate temples. And they put stained glass windows, expensive, millions of dollars for organs in those great cathedrals. And they have elaborate gold and silver in their candlesticks and all those kind of things. But that doesn't make that a spiritual place. It is the people. You who are saved have the Spirit of God dwelling within you, and you are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. So true worship, we worship the Father, and only believers can offer him worship. Because only believers have the Spirit of God dwelling within us. And we must worship him in spirit and truth. Now, where do we find truth? We find it in the Word of God. If we study the Word of God and the Spirit of God dwells within us, as believers, we have an imperative in Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. That is a command, an imperative. Be filled. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So as believers, when we are controlled, our eyes, our mind, our hands and feet are all being controlled by the Spirit of God, and that's what it means to be filled with the Spirit, to be controlled by the Spirit of God. And we worship God in spirit and truth. The Father seeketh such to worship him. God has sought us out, my friends. If you're saved today, you thank God he sought you. You weren't seeking him unless he was already working in your heart by the Holy Spirit. I remember when Joy and I got saved, I was working with some men on a nuclear plant. I was a welder, and there were several of those men that had Christian families. They went to church all the time. They were witnesses. Some of them went out on visitation, soul winning. Were always bringing in tracts, trying to be a witness to men they worked with and that sort of thing. And I went to church. My wife and I had a little religion that we'd been brought up with, but we weren't genuinely saved. And something started happening to me. I began to be conscious I was committing sin. I'd stop every day when I left work to get a beer at the local service station down the street. I said a beer, I mean four or five or six. And I'd go in the store, and when I'd be coming out with it under my arm, I all of a sudden felt like I need to look around out there and make sure one of those Christians ain't sitting out there in his car, you know. I felt guilty about it. And that was just a few weeks away from a day someone invited us to come to church, and we went to church and the gospel was preached and we got saved. And God changed our lives. God met a need we had within us. We had a peace come upon us that we had never experienced before. And we could lay down at night and go to sleep without any fear or worry. When we do our "now lay me down to sleep," we didn't have to worry. God was watching over us. He's awake all the times, my friend. And Christ is preparing a place for you in heaven if you know the Lord is your Savior. And if you don't know that, we want you to come today in the invitation and let a counselor take the Bible and show you how you can pray and receive the Lord today before you leave this place. The first time that worship is used in the Bible is found in Genesis 22 and verse 5. Many of you know this story right away of Abraham and how God told him to go and offer his only son on an altar on Mount Moriah. That mountain range is where Calvary is located. And Christ was offered by the Father for you and for me to pay the debt of our sins. In chapter 22 and verse 5, Abraham said unto his young men, "Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." Now, was Abraham lying? God told him to go offer his son. He took him up there. They established the altar. He laid his son down upon the wood. He lit the fire. He raised a knife to slay his son. And God stopped him and provided a ram caught in the thicket there. He made a substitute for Isaac, just like he made a substitute for you and me. And that substitute is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He was willing to offer his son because in Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says, he believed God's promises that he would raise up a nation through Isaac, his son. So he believed that God would raise him from the dead and they would return to these men and go back home again because God had promised these things in his word. Abraham was a friend of God because of his faith, because he believed God. And they went to worship the Lord. In 2 Samuel 24:24, if you'd like, turn there with me. 2 Samuel 24. David has committed another sin. He committed a great sin with Bathsheba and sending her husband into battle that he would be killed so he could cover his sin by marrying the woman that was pregnant with child. But he had another sin that was very prevalent. He numbered the nation of Israel when he was not supposed to. He took a census. I'm the king, and this is how many people I have, how many warriors I have, and all this sort of thing. And because of his pride, God punished him through the nation. And he was going to make a great sacrifice to God, a burnt offering, to stop the plague that he had agreed to for the punishment for what he had done. Verse 24, and the king said unto Araunah, "Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. I believe it's 70,000 people, if I'm not mistaken, just from memory, that died from the plague because of David's sin. And David said, "I want to offer to God anything that doesn't cost me something." Araunah said, "You're my king. Take the threshing floor. Take the cattle. Make the sacrifice an offering." And David said, "No, I will buy it at a price." And by that, he was saying a fair price. He was not going to get a deal and then offer that to God. He was going to pay the full price for the offering that he made. In Matthew chapter 8, verse number 2, the leper comes to worship the Lord. He falls down before him. He ascribes worth to him. He calls him Lord. He identifies Christ as the Messiah, the one to whom he was to look for healing, and he was made whole because of his faith. Abraham was willing to offer his son, and David offered the animals himself. and the threshing floor at a great price of 50 shekels of silver. And he worshiped the Lord. Abraham is intending to offer his son. You see, there's a cost in worship. It's a sacrificial thing. Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 12 and spoke about the greatest offering you can make. In chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's to be a holy offering. It's to be an acceptable offering. That means when we worship God, we should be sure that we have confessed our sinful ways to God and been cleansed of them and offer ourselves in service unto God. And that is a form of worship. Worship is the occupation of the soul with God Himself. I want you to turn to one more passage in Revelation chapter 5. I want you to see some worship that we will see and be a part of in the future. In Revelation 5 and verse 5 through 14, one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, these beasts are the cherubim. They have four faces and six wings. They're described as beasts in Revelation. In the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Did you know God saves your prayers? That they are offered unto Him like sweet incense being burned on the coals of the altar. They sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. That's our Lord they're talking about right there, my friends. That's the one who loved us and gave himself for us. That's the one who's going to share his inheritance with his people. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Verse 13, every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea, all of them that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. Excuse me, I got to blow my nose. Worship. Are we worshiping the Lord? Angels in heaven worship him. We will worship him with them. We'll offer him praise. We'll bow down before him. We are ascribing him worth when we worship him. We worship God because he's worthy. The problem among men is men think too highly of themselves and they don't think highly enough of the Lord. We focus on thinking about God, we think about his attributes. God has been merciful to us who are saved. He has extended grace to us. We offer him praise and thanks for what he has done for us. But there's times we need to just focus on who he is and acknowledge that he is worthy of our adoration and praise and worship. He's preparing heaven for us, and he supplies all our needs. In Matthew 14, when the disciples were in the ship and Peter tried to walk on the water but sank because of the winds and the boisterousness of the sea, and Christ lifted him up, and they returned to the ship, and the men on the ship in Matthew 14, 30, they worshiped him when he came into the ship and said, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." The winds and the sea were calm when he stepped into the ship. Has the Son of God calmed a storm in your life? He certainly has in mine. He has lifted us out of the waves and the danger that we've put ourselves in so many times. Have you seen someone else that he's rescued, that he's taken them out of the dangers and what they put themselves in willfully? Then we ought to worship him, for he is the Son of God, our Savior. Worship him. The most costly presentation that we can give unto him is to give ourselves. And if you give yourself to the Lord, you won't have a problem giving an offering unto him. And you'll be thankful that you can give that. As David said, "I don't want to offer God leftovers. I don't want to offer God something somebody gave me. I want it to cost me because he's worthy of my worship." Worship is sacrifice. It encourages praise. It opens our heart to prayer. We see the need to confess our sin and be right with God, who's worthy, who's holy. It keeps the line of communication open between us and God. It makes our giving have meaning, that we rejoice to give because of who it is going to. We seek to hear from God by studying his word. We fellowship with God in prayer, and we can do that daily and stay on the straight and narrow path. We'll be in fellowship with him. He leads us to a deeper appreciation of all that he has done for us in substitution and mercy and grace and provision and protection. Worship is based on redemption. You got to be saved to be able to worship. And you recognize the only reason you're saved is because of what Christ did for you on Calvary. He paid your debt. The relationship we call on God is our Father. 1 John 3:1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." We're nothing more than the dirt of the ground that God formed into a man and breathed life into him. But one day we'll have a glorified body like his body. And all of that is a part of what he's doing for us in redemption. Worship is based on relationship. Worship is based on representation. Christ represents himself at the throne of God for you and for me. He is an eternal high priest who ever lives. He is powerful, able to meet all our needs. And because he suffered on the cross, he's sympathetic, the Bible says, to our needs and our wounds and our troubles and our fears. And he tells us as his children to come boldly to the throne of grace, and we can get help from God. Merciful. He's the good shepherd that laid down his life for the sheep. He's the provider and protector of the flock, defender and sustainer. He upholds all things by the word of his power. We don't have to worry about a meteorite hitting the earth and destroying the earth. We don't have to worry about anything. When we pray, we're not supposed to worry about anything. We're to give thanks to God and let our requests be made known to him. He's our Father. He already knows what we have need of before we even ask. So I ask you again, are you worshiping God? Are you bowing down before him and giving him praise and thanks and adoration? And are you willing to make the greatest of sacrifices a living sacrifice, giving yourself to the Lord in service for him? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your people. We thank you for those that worship. I pray we know a little more about what we're doing. When we get down on our knees and humble ourselves before you and ascribe worthiness to you, for you are holy and you are worthy, and we offer you praise through the Lord Jesus Christ that made our access possible. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. We'll sing a verse of an invitational hymn. We invite you to come. Let a counselor take the Bible and show you. Or maybe you want to come and kneel by the altar here and worship the Lord. Come on.